So I was asked to speak today, and some of my thoughts for speaking today originally were, I wish I hadn't had a year where I'd have to stand up here and talk to everybody. I think everybody probably would wish they had had a good year. So my 2017 was not one of my favorite years that I have had so far. So a little bit of what happened in 2017 with me is I started a new job last year, and I had left a job where I was very comfortable in, knew the people, knew what I was doing, to something that was closer to home that I thought, you know, God was actually wanting me to do, to be closer to home, work in a different job. You know, I took a pay cut for it. I also took a demotion and, you know, the status that I had to take this new job, but I thought it was going to be a great opportunity. So as I started the new job, it, you know, offered its many new challenges of trying to build new relationships, understand the new culture and all that. And I also ended up with a boss that I didn't realize was going to be as verbally abusive as he was. And so challenges started to happen pretty quickly. So other things going on in my life that added to all the stress is I've got four kids, as many of you know. So that's just got its own little stress that comes with it. But in addition, my dad fell ill this year and became very ill as I had started my new job. And there were times that we weren't sure he was actually going to pull through and make it. And so I was dealing with that, and I didn't have any support at my work, you know, because I hadn't built those relationships yet. So there were days that I'd sit there and just feel pretty sad about, you know, not knowing what was going to happen with my dad. Things were going on, you know, with just raising four kids. And then, I was hit by another thing. Our daughter was diagnosed with PANDAS, which I don't know if you guys know what that is, but she had a strep virus, which then induced OCD disorder. And so we had that going on in our house as well. And at one point, I know it got bad enough where she wouldn't use her hands at all and didn't even want to touch food to eat. And so it was quite a challenge. So you add all these things together, and I was struggling mightily. Made it through the summer. Towards the end of the summer, our nanny that we had for a year and a half decided to give her notice. And so we were then looking for a new nanny. So it was just one thing kind of, on top of another. We did eventually find a new nanny, but, you know, as we were dealing with all these different things in the house, along the line, I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety. And I was pretty much struggling just to keep going every day, you know, to get food on the table for the kids, you know, support the family in any way. I became very exhausted and was pretty much withdrawing from everybody. I didn't want people to talk to me. I didn't want people to look at me because I was afraid that they'd see what was on the inside. And that was somebody who was broken and, you know, desperately screaming help. But, you know, you don't want people to know because you think it's kind of a sign of weakness. So the tipping point happened in about October. I had had about enough at work that I could handle with my boss just continually, you know, being verbally abusive, and his boss too would kind of gang up on me. So I ended up going to HR and basically asking, you know, is there some sort of assistance you can do to help with this relationship? Ultimately, it turned for the worst. HR had promised it was going to turn for the better, but it turned for the worst. My boss and my boss's boss decided to fabricate a story that I basically had a performance issue. And they continued for the next week and a half, 2 weeks, to continue to put me into a room and verbally abuse me, and to the point of almost tears. So at this point, I had pretty much reached rock bottom. I felt like I had really nothing more to give. I, you know, didn't have a great relationship with God at this point too, because my day-to-day was basically just trying to make it through the day. You know, I would briefly talk with God and tell him, you know, I know you wouldn't give us more than we can handle, but I think I've had enough and I don't think I can do much more. I was, you know, struggling even to get food on the table at this point. You know, Neil can tell you the number of nights we had takeout and pancakes and fend for yourself type of nights, the poor guy. And it got to the point where it was so bad that I was just listening to all the bad stuff in my head, you know, none of the good stuff, just the tape recorder kept going in my head about, you're not good enough, you can't even put food on the table for your kids, you're not this, you're not that. I was finally to the state where my anxiety was so high that I pretty much was having anxiety attacks that were lasting almost all day. I was sleeping about 3 hours a night. Neil can attest that there were some evenings that I actually was crying to him, saying, I just want to sleep. That's all I wanted. And by the time I fell asleep, I'd wake up an hour and a half later to a panic attack. And so then it kind of started all over. So at this point, I was like, I've got nothing more to give. I can't do anymore. I had actually, one evening, it was so bad, I actually had a piece of paper and started writing out all the reasons why I shouldn't be here. You know, why people would be better off without me. And at that point, I realized, you know, it couldn't go on. It couldn't go any lower because, you know, my kids need me. My husband needs me. At that point, I decided to reach out to Vinny and Joe in an email and basically ask for prayer for myself and my family. You know, I was hesitant to reach out because I was afraid of being judged. I was afraid of people like saying stuff about, oh, she's weak. She can't even handle her family and her job and her life. But it was probably one of the best things that I ever did, reaching out for prayer. Because at that point, things really started to turn around. Joe also gave a sermon, started the sermon series from James, and the first sermon was on trials. And I sat there and thought, oh, God has a little bit of a sense of humor here, doesn't he? Because I had pretty much told him, you know you wouldn't give us more than we can handle, but I've had just about enough. So in the sermon series, the one statement that really struck me, which you had in the notes, was God will take you where you do not want to go in order to produce in you what you could never achieve on your own. And I thought to myself, I really don't want to be here. I don't think anybody would wish to be in that situation. But I thought, you know, what does God want to produce in me? You know, what is he hoping to get out of this situation? And I started trying to find out, you know, where are we going? So I, you know, sat and prayed, you know, after that sermon series that night and, you know, was reading the Bible, which I hadn't done for a while because, like I said, I was basically just trying to survive and had kind of given up on a lot of things. So as I was reading the Bible, I stumbled across Exodus 14:14, which says, "The Lord will fight for you, just be still." And at that point, I decided, why am I fighting? Why am I fighting this alone? Why am I fighting every night? And I decided, you know, God was just going to have to do this one for me because I had nothing left. And so as I started to kind of give in and kind of step back and, you know, take a deep breath, I could feel like the warm prayers from people at church. You know, some of you came up and just gave me a hug. And for those people who, you know, have depression or anxiety or whatever, that hug means a lot more than you know. You know, there were times that I didn't want to let go because it was just kind of that warmth. And, you know, I felt like I was actually taking something from you. It was just like a little bit of extra strength to kind of get me through. The emails or the letters were very kind and encouraging because, you know, when you're thinking that, you know, this place would be, the world would be better without me, when you see these letters or these emails, you're like, no, wait a second, that's what, you know, Satan wants me to hear. That's not what God wants me to hear. So that was huge things for me. Other things that happened once I started to be still was at work, people started going to HR and complaining about the way I was being treated. Not just one or two, but there were between 5 and 10 people that went to HR, and I was told this by my HR person. And not just, you know, people at lower levels, but people of all levels. There were senior vice presidents that actually went to the head of HR to complain about how I was being treated. So in the end, I ended up, within the matter of a month, I had 2 job offers. One was external and one was internal. And the internal one was actually a little bit of a surprise because a senior vice president went around and actually lobbied with some other department heads saying, you know, I, you know, think she might leave, you know, is there anything that you guys might have that might open up? And miraculously, a position in another department opened up for me. And it wasn't one that they were actually advertising for, but they didn't want to let me go because they knew I was a hard worker and, you know, was somebody that they wanted in their department. And so, you know, God definitely blessed me in that way. The other thing that happened was I started to be able to sleep again at night. I slept through the entire night, which was amazing. And it felt, you know, it was very, you know, if you've ever had, I know if you've had a little kid, you know what it's like when you only sleep about 3 hours a night. But it meant a lot because I was basically so tired that my brain was just kind of foggy. So it was nice to be able to sleep through the entire night, not wake up in a panic. The other thing that began to happen, which is kind of an unusual thing that I hadn't realized at the time, was I began to actually smell again and actually taste again, which doesn't seem, you know, normal, but I remember going shopping and I was sitting in a store and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't remember the last time I've smelled, you know, I was in a bath store. But it's just things that your body starts to shut down after a while when you're under so much stress. But the other thing too was I started to engage with my family more. Instead of just wanting to sit on the sideline and be by myself, I, you know, started to actually listen to them, play with them. Hugs from them meant a whole lot more than they used to. And, you know, it felt good. It's nice to be able to, you know, get out of that crisis mode and actually kind of enjoy life. So out of all this, what I realized is, you know, when you go through a trial, it's always good to go back and find the nuggets of goodness from the trial. One for me in particular is I've always been very, very hard on myself. I've always been somebody who's been hypercritical. You know, if something goes wrong, I usually take the blame for it, and I'm always telling myself, you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that. I'm starting to realize that that's not, you know, a good way to go through life. And so now I actually have a journal where I'll write actually good things in it. So at the end of every day, I think about, you know, what was something good from today? What is something somebody said to me or, you know, did that was positive? And it's definitely an interesting way to change your mindset and start thinking and seeing life differently in a more positive way. The other thing I realized is we really need to lean on each other for support. You know, I was so afraid to send that email because I was afraid of how people would think of me and, you know, how they'd look at me. But in the end, it was one of the best things that I ever did, because that was a huge turning point, was to realize that, you know, you guys are here. Getting hugs from people is a huge thing. You know, if you see somebody that's quiet in the corner, you never know what's going on. Sometimes that hug can mean the world to them, or just the kind email or the kind letter. The other thing too is, you know, if you're somebody who's struggling with something, you know, speak up and ask for help. You know, I always used to say this to people when they'd come up to me and say, you know, how are things going? And I'd always say, do you want the grocery store answer? And that's the answer that you give everybody of, oh, good, fine. But there are times that you do actually need to say, not so good. You know, I do need support from others. So I think really, you know, learn to lean on each other and be there for each other. The other thing I learned is I am now in a new position. I did stay at my current employer, and I have started reporting to this new person in a different department, and it has been, you know, just very eye-opening and great. He's very supportive, very kind, very nice, but it's a job that I probably would have never selected on my own if I hadn't gone through this. And the good part is I still get to stay closer to home. And even this past week, he mentioned something to me. If you ever want to pick a day to work from home every week, we can talk about that. And I was like, wow, you know, I'd never been in a position to have that offered to me. So, you know, God does work, you know, through these trials and give you some good things. And, you know, if I had to give you guys kind of a take-home message, is that if you're going through something difficult, don't hesitate to reach out. Don't hide it when you're screaming inside, I need help. You know, let people know. They don't know, you know, if you don't say something. The other thing I got to say is I'm incredibly blessed to be a part of this church family, because through your love and support really helped me through this situation. And I'm still on the road to recovery. I still have, you know, things that, you know, bother me and keep me up at night a little bit, but I'm definitely doing a whole lot better. And, you know, I've seen changes in our family, you know, especially over the last month, more love in our family and, you know, more joy. And so that's been a real blessing. So anyways, but that's kind of all I have to say. So,
let's take a moment and pray. Lord, thank you for being able to see your grace evident in Bobby Anna's life and in the life of her family. And thank you for being the God that fights our battles for us. Lord, help those of us here who are going through similar situations to stand still to see the salvation of our God, that we might cease our striving and turn to you, our strong tower. Lord, we pray that you may give us strength to persevere through trials so that we may receive that crown of life. Amen.